Am I coming through on the sound system okay? All right, we're on. So, very well. Let me share a couple of announcements as we welcome you all to come in and join us for our worship service this morning. Already, it's July. Isn't that amazing? Here we are, going through the year so quickly. We're glad to have the Dodelaires with us this morning, as many of you know already, and have heard their ministry in the Sunday school. We are praying that the Lord will use them mightily in our midst this morning as our brother preaches and as you interact with them as well. I wanted to let you know, if you did not get the email already, that our brother Alvin Laurie is now with the Lord. He left this life on Thursday morning, and memorial arrangements are pending for him. I expect that there'll be a small private memorial held sometime later this week, perhaps, or maybe the following week. They're not exactly sure when that will be. But you recall that we met our brother through a mailing that we did for Easter in 2012, I believe it was. And he started coming to the church through that means. He inquired when he got the mailing, and we started to pick him up and give him rides to the church. And he really enjoyed coming for quite some time, and his health began to interfere with that, and he was at home most of the time, and then he moved out to Adrian to be closer to a caregiver that was kind of part of his adopted family, as it were. He did not have any family of his own, other than he has a brother and a sister-in-law and some others too, more distant relatives, but so he was out there and then came into Ann Arbor to be in the hospital for a little while and then went back home. Was able to get out just briefly about a week before he passed, but he was not able to sustain those issues that he had with his liver and kidneys and so on. But he's free from the challenges that he faced. Also, he had some other issues that were of concern to him, and we're glad that he's with the Lord. I asked him if he was afraid when he was in the hospital. I often ask that to people who are basically on their deathbed, and he said, afraid of what? He was confident when we talked about his salvation. He knew for a fact, for sure, that he was born again, that he had professed faith in Christ, and he was trusting the Lord to take him to heaven. So that's a great testimony. And we're glad that he's relieved from that suffering. On a lighter note, we have Vacation Bible School this week so that we can hopefully minister to some children so that they will end up also in heaven when they exit this life. So we have a meeting about that this morning following the worship service. This service now, so right at noon. And what I'd like to ask us to do is if we could just go down to the room down the hall and have that meeting there. So we'll gather there for the Vacation Bible School meeting. If you're not in that meeting, then could we ask you a favor? If you are an able-bodied gentleman, to help Brother Kurowicki get set up in here after the service. You're still planning to do that? Yeah. He's parked right outside that door. He's done this routine before, so just you can help him bring the things in and get some of those things at least in out of his truck and into the building here. That would be a great help as well. This evening at 6 o'clock, we're dedicating our service to the Lord's Supper, and we'll have an opportunity to reflect on our walk with the Lord and confession of sin and our interaction with one another. So please come for that. If you're born again, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you really need to be here. And your children as well. Even if they don't participate in the table, they can observe and learn and grow in that week also. Let's see, what else can we say here as far as announcements? We have had an invitation from the Faithway Baptist Church folks to participate with them in a young singles fellowship again. We started a ministry like this in 2009, and it was a great ministry and also resulted in some young men finding some young women for marriage, and they appreciated that very much. Yes. So we're glad about that. But so if you're in that category, please let us know if you'd like to go at 7 o'clock on July 11th, actually coming up very soon. So I need to know by midweek if you're able to come for that fellowship. That'll be at Pastor Estelle's home in Ypsilanti. We did have the closing on the building that we purchased in Howell. That happened on Monday morning and went without any problems at all, really just went smoothly through. And so we are the owners now of a building in Howell that we can use for ministry, and we'll begin now the really hard work of preparing that place and also using it for the Lord. So pray especially, as far as I'm concerned, we could forget the building in a sense. What we really want is souls. We want souls to fill those bricks and that mortar so that there'll be a real vibrant ministry going on there. So please pray with us regarding that church plant work. Okay. Did any of you young people notice the decorations out there? Did you notice if you walked in the front door that you walked through the Red Sea? There were fish on the sides, you know, looking at you. And there's a burning bush out there, and it's not been consumed yet. And baby Moses is hiding in a basket out there amongst the plants by the desk. What else is there out there? Anyone notice anything else? Oh, yes, the red over the doorposts and the lintel of the doors there. And what else? Was there something else? Oh, there was a frog. That was right. The plague of the frogs is in the room down here. What else? I think our sister was responsible for those decorations. We thank you for that. Yes, sir. What else did you see? Okay, I'm not sure what they are. But in any case. Oh, the poster. Okay, yeah, we saw it. That's right. That's part of it, too. So anyway, we're looking forward to the Great Escape this week. Young folks, hope that you're able to come and learn about the Great Escape. Okay? All right. Well, let's pray as we begin our service this morning, and then we will begin with hymn number 9 together. Father, it's a great privilege for us to join together and worship the great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name this morning that He will be exalted and glorified in our midst. Thank you for the privilege to join together our hearts, our voices, our time, our presence together with one another. I pray that your church will be a pure church, that you will work in our hearts to remove from us, eradicate from us sin little by little. Father, if there is anything in our hearts that needs to be confessed and turned away from, repented of, may we do that even this morning so that we will not come with dirty hands, but we will, as it were, lift up holy hands in worship of the great God, our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, if you take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 9, we can sing together, Holy, 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 hymn number 9. Brother Dan, thanks for leading us in singing.
Would you stand together with me, please, as we sing hymn number 9.
Thank you.
follow with number 10, Oh for a Thousand Tongues.
Take our Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll finish reading the epistle here of 2 Peter. We began last week. While you're turning there, let me just mention a couple of things. I bring greetings from Pastor Perry Reddy again. I just talked with him a few days ago. Actually, no, I talked to him yesterday as well. And so he wanted to say hello to one and all. And also greetings from Mark and Rebecca Mayer, who aren't able to be here. I'm pretty sure they're not here today, but bring greetings as well from them to the church family. Also extol the value of going to family camp. We enjoyed that this past week and really did enjoy it. There were the general program is you have a lot of free time. You have camp activities that you can do. There are two chapel services each day, once in the morning and once after dinner in the evening. And it's just a great time of fun and spiritual refreshment, rest. And it's kind of my kind of vacation, if you will. You get some spiritual things and you're not just sitting around, by yourself twiddling your thumbs or whatever, but you have lots of things you can do and the kids can stay busy and that sort of thing. So it's a good thing. And if anybody's interested, please see me. I can share with you more about that. But I'd like, it'd be nice if more of us could go, even several could go one time, maybe in a future year, and just enjoy the fellowship together. But see me if you want to know more about that. There's still a couple of weeks this season with family camp at the particular camp that we went to up by Houghton Lake in mid-Michigan. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. May I read that verse again? Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, the things of the future, eschatology, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Put all of your energy into that, being found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Trust that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning, and that it will indeed go out and not come back to him without any effect at all. Rather, will be full of effect in our lives. I'm going to, at this time, invite Damaris Dodelaire, if she will come and share with us music ministry that she has prepared. And I think Naomi is going to accompany her as well. Come right on up here. Thank you. Thank you so much, our dear sister, for that ministry. One of the things I was thinking about as she was singing and as I knew what the words were ahead of time, that's a great testimony for us before we make our offerings to the Lord for His work. God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the little bit that you might put in or the lot that you might put in there into the offering plate. But, you know, if you give nothing, there's a problem, not just with your pocketbook, but with your heart. And if you give out of pride, there's the same problem right in your heart. So I take a serious responsibility. Somebody puts in a little amount, like our brother who just recently passed away would send a few dollars. That is my responsibility to use that money well, so that's not wasted. But God knows what that little amount did in the lives of people here in the church and in the mission field and all of that. It's a great privilege to be able to participate in that work. And I encourage you, even if you think it's not very much, we don't even have to talk about money. Let's just talk about your life. What can I do for God? Well, learn to give yourself whatever you have and watch God multiply it like He multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed 5,000 people. Maybe He will do the same with you. I trust that will be the case. So I'm going to invite the men, if they will, come forward and take up your offering for the work of God here and abroad and up in Howell and other places too. And we look forward to Christy's musical offering as well. Thank you. Thank you, Christy, for that this morning. Let us look to the Lord again in prayer and ask my brother Ben, if he will, lead us in prayer for the offering. Amen. Thank you, Ben and gentlemen, for that service to us as well. I'm going to invite the ladies, if they will come and sing, "Who Will Go For Me?"
Dark of night to bring the
Thank you, ladies, for that very nice ministry as well. Lots of good music this morning. And because of that, we're going to omit the third hymn that we normally do. I'm going to invite the young people, if they would like to go to their class now, to make their way up there. There they all go. What a blessing to see those young, fresh lives. Oh, that they may all be directed like arrows in the hands of God to be used for Him. I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer in just a moment. I'll just show you a couple of letters here. I got one from the Hodgson family with a new prayer card here. You can see that afterwards if you'd like. A lot of activities on their part. Of course, I have the Dodelaires from just the 30th, and also an update from the Mitchells. This is an interesting one. I'm not exactly sure everything that's going on here, but they are praying, asking us to pray for a trip that they have to make to a particular island, which has some dangers associated with it for their safety. And they're asking us to pray for God to give them wisdom about whether to go and stay there for the 4 nights or to go and do their ministry and come back and then go and do their ministry and come back and do that 4 days with all the time and expense that's associated with that. So we'll pray together for that as well. So let's look to the Lord in prayer for these matters and for our speaker this morning. Father in heaven, it's a great privilege that we can bring to you also our intercessions. We praise you for who you are and what you have done. And Lord, we confess our sins before you. We give you thanks for the many blessings, but we also intercede for those who have asked us to do so. And this morning, O Lord, it's our privilege before the throne of grace to bring the Mitchell family for Jack and Jennifer and for their work in Micronesia. And I pray, Lord, specifically for this need that they have on the other side of the world to know whether they should go to a particular place and how they should stay there and how they should interact with the dangerous situation that appears to be there. Father, we don't know all the information. We don't know what will happen, but we know someone who does. And Lord, that's you. And so we appeal to you to give them help in this practical matter of ministry. And Lord, help it to challenge us as well as we think about this, that they have to concern themselves with these kinds of things when we sit in relative peace and safety with no such concerns. So give them wisdom, give them guidance, give them information that might help them make that decision. And we commit that to you and trust that you will bring that to pass. Grant them safety in whatever happens. And we also pray, Lord, for the Dodelaires again this morning as our brother comes to minister to us. We thank you that he is here. We thank you that his wife is here and that their two children are with us and that we can see them face to face after such a long absence and meet the boys in person instead of just by picture. Father, I pray for their furlough that you will grant them safety on the road, that their vehicle will run well, they will have everything that they need. We pray for the ministry of the local church there and their place of ministry in France and for the Bible Institute and for the two camps that they mentioned and for the fellowship of churches, for the teenagers to whom they have ministered. We pray for the families to whom they have ministered and are hoping that they will come to faith in Christ. I pray that even now you will work in the hearts of those people, that they, when the Dodelaires return, that they may find a great work has been done in the hearts and lives of some of these contacts that they have. And Lord, our hearts are especially heavy to pray for the local churches that have not a pastor. Oh Lord, we pray that you will raise up young men in that place. Just give them a heart for the work of God in that part of your vineyard. And may you raise up men who will be qualified and taught, able to teach, and that will work in the ministry of the local church. We commit that need to you as well. We pray for our brother Ross and their sister Kathy Hodgson and their desire to continue in these Bible translations and how many technical details they have to overcome in communication and training and the translation of verses that seem to defy the ability to translate into particular target language. I pray that you give them wisdom, fill them with your Spirit. We pray for his health as well that is affecting their work, that you would sustain it until such time as you see fit. We also pray, Lord, for those that are away from us today, a number of families on vacation or with their family. We pray that you will watch over them and may they be found worshiping you this morning wherever they are. We'll give you thanks. Again, help us to be attentive to the Word of God this morning as it is preached. In Jesus' name we ask with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Well, it's our privilege, as I mentioned, to have Jeremy Dodelaer with us and preaching in English this morning, not Franglish or Franglish or whatever it is. We're looking forward to the ministry. I really love that report and the questions that you all asked and the opportunity we had to learn more about the work there and the challenges that are there. Pay close attention and catch our brothers and sisters' heart for ministry. And may that also be reflected in our hearts as we minister for God here in Ann Arbor and in the locations that we live and work and do our daily business. So, brother, please come and share with us. We look forward to what God has for us through you today.
You know, among the prayer requests that you saw in the presentation, the part about wisdom, you know, and the fact that you mentioned about these churches without a pastor at this time, you know, it's really, really difficult. Because we have some of these churches that have asked us to consider taking over those ministries. And it's hard because we know where the Lord has called us. And we know there's a need in those churches, but there's a need also of these people you saw in the presentation to know the Lord. And please, please, please do pray that, you know, the French Christians would stand up and say, yes, God is calling me for the ministry, and that they would help these churches there. Yes, you know, France is a difficult field. All fields are difficult. All fields have their levels of difficulty, I would say, but France is known for its difficulties, and Europe in general. It's been called many times the cemetery, the graveyard of missions. As missionaries have come and gone for various reasons, you saw in the presentation that some of these families were under the attack of the devil, and some of these pastoral families have been destroyed. And we need to pray. We need to pray for those missionaries there and their families because, you know, the devil is active, and we need to be more active in our prayers. It is difficult because it's easy, you know, for missionaries, for people involved in God's ministry there in France to at times be discouraged when they see the very few results. You know, preparing this presentation, I was like, okay, what am I going to be able to say? What am I going to be able to report? And that's when I started listing, you know, all these blessings that God has given us. They're not, you know, necessarily the fruits that we want to see, you know, people being saved and being engaged in a church. But we see people interested in the Word of God. And for me to see that in people in France is a great fruit and a great blessing for me. I'd like to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. You saw in the presentation a picture of that ark there in the Netherlands. And it was quite amazing to find such a place in a country like the Netherlands. You know, you think of France as being a country of darkness. Oh, take a close look at the Netherlands. Okay, because, I mean, their moral values are probably even worse than France at this time with legalized drugs and prostitution and things like that. But to see that in an area of the world like Europe, to see a testimony of God's work You know, it's truly amazing, and I'm kind of proud that we have had a NARC there in Europe before the United States did. But this morning, I'd like to talk about Noah. Noah and his life, his faith, and how his life and faith are an encouragement for each and every one of us as Christians, those who are involved in God's work and ministry here in America and across the world. And I'd like to share these things with you this morning because Noah, well, he is considered one of those heroes of the faith in the book of Hebrews, one of these faithful men who have stood up for what is true and done what God has asked him to do. So we'll start reading at verse 1, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And we'll stop here this morning. When we take a close attention to Noah and his life, the days that he lived in, his faith, there are three matters that we need to underline. First one is that Noah had a living faith in a world of darkness. He had a living faith in a world of darkness. Take a closer look at the situation. This situation here was really hopeless. Really hopeless. Sin was everywhere. It was so bad that in the beginning of the chapter, it talks to us about the sons of God, and I'll let Pastor Postiff answer all your questions about these. I have my personal opinion, and that is that these were men that used to walk with God, that used to follow God's word, and ended up walking away from God. But this triggered God's judgment. Well, that's what we see in the verses following. In verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There's no exaggeration here when I say that sin was everywhere. Take a closer look at that verse 5 there, and note with me these three words there. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination, only continually. You know, when we think of our situation today in the societies that we live in, where it is here in the United States or in France, and we see the wickedness of the people around us, that's nothing yet compared to what Noah lived through. And yet this man had a living faith in this world that was hopeless, in this world of darkness. Every imagination of the heart was turned towards evil only continually. There was no hope for these men and women in Noah's days. And that is why God said that he will destroy, in verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, let's be honest here. What we live today, however bad you look at the situation that you are in today, it is nothing compared to Noah and what he lived through. Sin was so bad that it affected everybody. It affected creation. It affected the animals. But moreover, what is really heartbreaking is verse 6. And it repented me, it repented the Lord, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That is what sin does. It brings destruction. It brings destruction to families. It brings destruction to societies. That's all it brings. But more importantly, it grieves God's heart. The God we know, a God of, yes, holiness, justice, of grace, of love, he saw no other solution than to destroy that world of wickedness. That's a situation that Noah lived in. I was just thinking about it a little bit earlier, too. You know, living a faith in a world of darkness, what did it mean to Noah? It was just him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man. We don't know exactly how many people lived in those days. Several thousands? Several millions? We don't know. But there's to think that one man only in the entire world had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is grieving. That is sad. The whole world was corrupt. We see that in verse 7, 11 through 13. Sin was everywhere. Yet Noah had a living faith in the world of darkness. And the reason that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, verse 9, it tells us he was a just man, perfect, honest. He walked with God. Now this describes Noah's living faith. On a daily basis, he was a man who was just, he was perfect, honest, and he walked with God. He was the only man who would had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Trying to imagine, you know, we think of ourselves as Christians, and, you know, the persecution, you know, all kinds of forms of persecutions in this world. Some of our brothers and sisters, they're persecuted physically for their faith. You know, others are persecuted by, you know, not allowing things to happen, like, you know, purchasing a building or other things, or people making fun of Christians, or really fighting against Christianity. But Noah, imagine. I don't even know what his relationship with his in-laws must have been. I try to think that maybe he had family there that did not walk with God. His neighbors did not walk with God. He was alone. You know, in the ministry, in the mission field, it's pretty easy at times to feel alone. You know, some of the reasons that some missionaries, you know, have left the field was because, well, their family had a hard time, you know, adapting, you know, to the culture, learning the language. But, you know, coming from the United States where you have all these churches and all the fellowship that you have the Bible presented on TV. And to go in a place where you have nothing like that, that you might be in the area where the closest missionary is probably four or five hours away, it's easy to feel alone. But imagine Noah. What it was like for him. Yes, he had a living faith. He was just. He was perfect, honest. He was walking with God. And that was what caught God's attention, that this man had a living faith. And that's why God accorded grace to him. A living faith in a world of darkness. Then the second thing I need to share with you is that, of course, that living faith, it triggered a saving faith for Noah and his family. A saving faith in a condemned world. This world was completely condemned. There was no hope. Imagine the fact that these people, every thoughts of their hearts were turned towards evil. There was no room for repentance. It was completely hopeless. That world was condemned. God said, I will destroy this world. I will send a flood. This world was condemned. But because Noah had a living faith in the world of darkness, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord in the world that was condemned. You know, God, from the very beginning of the chapter, saw no other solution. He could read the hearts of these men and know that they would never repent of their sins because of the wickedness of their hearts. That generation was completely lost. There was no room for repentance, no room for goodness. Basically, that world was twice condemned. Condemnation from original sin and condemnation because of the practice of their sin that was so bad that God sent the judgment of the flood. This passage tells us about God's condemnation, but it tells us about God's grace for one man who was walking with Him, who was just, who was honest. Grace, in this chapter, in the next chapters, we see the condemnation, but I love to see God's grace there for Noah. Grace can only be obtained by faith. There is no other way. That's what Ephesians 2:8 tells us. And faith has been and will continue to be until the end the only way for salvation, for redemption. Because Noah had faith in God, he had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Another passage that tells us about Noah, of course, as mentioned it earlier, is the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 7. It tells us about Noah's faith. And the verse, you know, begins with the words by faith and ends by the words by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It was only by God's grace that Noah was saved. God's grace, Noah's faith. We cannot separate these two elements. It's written from the very beginning to the end of God's word. By faith, we are saved. By faith, we can be redeemed. No, we need to remember as Christians that without God's grace in our lives, we're no different from these men who lived in Noah's days. Our soul, our spirit has been corrupted by sin. Condemnation is upon us. We are sinners. And when we look at the people around us, at the society around us, oh yeah, we can be so quick to judge and to condemn these people for what the way they live, the way they talk, the music they listen to, the way they behave. But without God's grace, you could live a good life just like Mrs. Le Marchand. Live a good life, do good things, but that's still not going to bring you to heaven. God's grace. God's grace only. Noah had a saving faith in a condemned world, and his faith had such an impact that it even was, this grace was even accorded, you know, granted to his family. God said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save your family. That is what God's grace is about. When someone walks with God, lives for God, has a living faith, it will trigger this grace from God. In such a hopeless situation, again, we can only admire God's grace for Noah. We can admire Noah's stand to have a living faith that saved him and his family. A third thing we need to look at in this passage about Noah's life is that he had an act of faith in an unbelieving world. An act of faith. He had a living faith, a saving faith, but he had a faith that was active. That means that he did things that proved the faith he had in his heart. Noah's faith is linked to his obedience to God. Look at verse 22 of chapter 6. God had given Noah all the instructions on how to build the ark and what to do. And there, in verse 22, it says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." That is faith in action. You know, it's easy to say, "I'm a believer, I'm a Christian." Mrs. Marchand believes she's a Christian. She has faith in God. But we know that, you know, without repentance, without God's grace, you know, that faith is not going to bring her to heaven. Our actions are going to show, are going to prove that our faith is real, that God's grace has been applied. And here, what we see in Noah is that his faith triggers obedience, submission to God. Noah did according to all, not just a little bit, not just what we like about it, but all that God commanded him, so did he. That is faith in action. Another passage that tells us about Noah is in 2 Peter. In chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And it tells us about Noah being a preacher of righteousness. In the French translation, it is a preacher of justice. You know, many people, and you know, I used to think that way too, but many people look at Noah and believe that, yeah, Noah preached for the people around him to repent. And I started, you know, thinking about that and looking it up and, you know, studying the question. And I said, well, I don't see that in the Bible except for that one verse that says that he was a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of justice. And in fact, the idea that, you know, Noah preached repentance, you know, to the people around him comes from Jewish tradition. And when I think that all these people that lived in Noah's days, every imagination of their hearts were turned towards evil only continually. I'm like, well, God did not ask him to be a preacher, you know, for people to come and repent and join him in the ark. In fact, you know, in the verse that we just read in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it tells us that he prepared the ark for what? To the saving of his house. God said, build the ark, I will save your family. So I have a hard time, you know, believing that he preached a message of repentance, but he was called a preacher of righteousness, of justice. So what is it? You know, the word there in the Greek is kerux, someone who announces, who proclaims, a herald. So how was Noah a preacher? How was his faith active in the way that he was preaching? You know, when we saw that ark there in the Netherlands as we were approaching the place, we could see it from far away. And it was visible. It was something visible. In that same verse of Hebrews, it says that he prepared the ark for the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. So, there, the testimony that Noah had, the preaching that he had was what? It was announcing God's judgment. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you would have loved to live in Noah's days and having to live your faith like he did, but also preaching God's judgment? Now we know how people react to judgment. Oh, you Christians are so judgmental. In so many ways, that's true. But how many of us would love to have this message there of condemnation to preach? I know I wouldn't. And I sure thank God that today, yes, the gospel contains a message of condemnation, but that's not only it. There's a message of grace, of love. So Noah had a faith that was living, a saving faith, an active faith. You know, I don't see Noah having a little fish sticker on his ark. I don't see him wearing a t-shirt with a Bible verse. But I see a man who put in practice what God had told him to do. And that's what we need to do as Christians. God is not calling us to judge others and condemn others. He's commanding us to share His love and His grace and tell them that, yes, there is a condemnation upon them, but there is also grace that can be found in Jesus Christ. When I look at Noah and, you know, being a missionary in France, and I try to figure, you know, building an ark with just himself and his family, and, you know, seeing an actual replica of the ark there in the Netherlands, that was a lot of work. That was a lot of work. And yet, he did everything that God told him to do. It took many years to build that ark. I see perseverance here. God told him to do something, and he did it throughout the years of building the ark. Noah was active in his faith. You know, it is said, I received an email last month from a missionary, and he was giving me some numbers about France. And he was saying that there was an estimate that was made a few years ago that it takes about an average of 17 years for a church to be established in France. 17 years. I'm thinking, well, I still have 13 years at least of being in that area. And to think that most missionaries there in France have been there for over 10, 15, 20, sometimes 30 years in the same place. Perseverance. You know, we may not see, you know, the end of it. But the fact is that God has called us to do something. I certainly appreciate my coworkers, you know, philosophy of ministry, the way he looks at our ministry there in France, and I agree completely with him, where he sees that, you know, we are there to sow the seeds. We are there to share the gospel. We may not see people come to Christ, but we are doing what God has called us to do. Oh, we would love to see the fruits. We would love to see people come to know Christ. But right now, God has called us to do something in that region of Amiens, to preach the gospel to the people around us. And that's what we're doing. It may take 17 years. I don't know. But I know that I have to persevere in the same way that Noah did. So when I look at his life and the example and everything that pertains to Noah, you know, I cannot allow discouragement to come into my heart. I cannot allow myself to think this world is hopeless. I thought that many times. Thinking, is it really worth it? You know, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. They don't want to put in practice. But God told Noah to build the ark, and so did he. And God has called us to be preachers of the gospel, to go to all nations, to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them. And that is what we will do. Perseverance. So how visible is your personal ark today? You know, God has not called you to build an ark in your backyard, but He has called you to build an ark with your life. A visible testimony, yes, God's judgment, but also of God's grace. God saved Noah and his family with that ark. Is our life showing a visible manifestation of God's grace and of His love? So Noah's example teaches us that whatever, however bad the world is, we can still daily live our faith. We think it's hard here to be a Christian. Think of our brothers and sisters in Islamic countries. Think of the true persecutions that our brothers and sisters are living daily across the world. We can still daily live our faith, and we ought to be thankful, not only be thankful, but we need to take advantage of that. Though this world is condemned, God still wants to save people like He did for Noah and his family, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Finally, that faith is to be visible through our actions, through our lives. That our ark, our faith, will be a testimony that will bring people to God. You know, we're not all called to be missionaries and pastors, but we're all called to be preachers of the gospel. All of us. Through your testimony. Sharing the gospel with others. Your family members. Co-workers, neighbors. So again, I am, truly encouraged by Noah's life and his testimony. And if, there are many examples of, godly men in the Word of God, there's not much that is said about Noah and his daily life. But what is said about him is that he was a man of faith. And his faith was true and visible and active. So I encourage you, each and every one of you today, to consider these facts about Noah's life. And about your life. You know what? There's still hope for your family members who do not know Christ. There's still hope for your neighbors and co-workers. There's still hope for the people in France and Europe. Though the darkness is great, there's still hope. Because we're not yet in that same situation that Noah had to live. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be able to call you Father. And it's only through your grace that we're able to. Because you have loved this world so much that you sent your Son to die on a cross for our sins. We deserve to die. We deserve the destruction because of our sin. But because of your love and grace, because of your desire, your will that all men come to repentance, you have sent your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, we will never have enough words in this lifetime to thank you correctly, to show you all the gratefulness and gratitude for sending your Son and for saving us. Lord, I pray that you would use us during this week and the coming weeks to be living examples of what your grace can do in people's lives. Lord, that we would be Noahs. That we would be people who live our faith on a daily basis. People who are truly saved. People who have an active faith that is visible, that people can see, yes, he is truly a Christian. Not one who is pretending to be a Christian, but one who is trying to emulate Christ's life in his own life, who is letting Christ control his life. Lord, I pray that you would continue to use us, strengthen us, give us the boldness we need to preach the gospel, to present your word to people around us. And Lord, that one day we would hear from your own words, "Well done, faithful servant." Lord, again, we thank you for this day you have given us, for this time together in fellowship, time in your word, time singing and praising you. And Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one of us today. Please bless this church here, that you would continue to use them for your work, that you continue to bless the ministry here, but also the ministry in Howell that they're trying to establish, Lord, that you would help them in every aspect. We praise you that we're able to purchase that building. And Lord, we pray that you would send to our brothers and sisters here the people who are truly ready to receive your word and to come to you with a repenting heart. Lord, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for this time this morning. And we want to praise you once again for your marvelous work in Noah's life, but also your marvelous work in our own lives. May we use our lives today in the rightful way. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.